Accession number 19068, reel 3.
Mr. Kinchison, reel 3.
Having finished the training with the 17th ITC, moved to the 9th Battalion Royal Berkshire Regiment, stationed at North Walsham in Norfolk, and that was just a holding battalion that was training drafts ready to go off to different units, and our duties while there was going down to going to the coast, patrolling along the coast to make sure the defences were in order. That was just the sort of scaffolding and stuff that they had along on the beach, and then further back the barbed wire and different obstacles. And it was a case of being called if they thought that the Germans was coming in on the east coast at all, and we would often be called out at night for that sort of thing. And it was October went to North Walsham, and it was very cold. I always remember it was a very cold place. Billets there were poor. The battalion occupied buildings in the town, and also country houses around on the outskirts. And we stationed with B Company, and had one of the old houses, and we had huts in the grounds of the house, and very poor huts, and cold, just as cold as could be. And the washing facilities was a wooden trough outside with duck boards laid along to stand on, and you stood out there and washed and shaved, and the cold water was almost freezing. And it certainly wasn't very pleasant. The battalion always had a church parade on a Sunday morning in the parish church in North Walsham, and it was that was a most stupid thing, really. You came out from these grounds in a lot of places in mud. Your boots were supposed to shine, and your buttons showing, and it was all very regimental. But it was I always thought the most ridiculous thing. They even had at times there when the Jankawallers, that was the people that had got a bit of had done something wrong and had been in front of their commanding officer and had been been given so many days confined to barracks, and that was the nickname, the Jankawallers, and they used to carry the chaps out that were going out on church parade if the conditions was bad, so as to keep their footwear clean. That was their job, to carry them out. And or if there wasn't many Jankawallers, they had to come out there with brushes and cloth and wipe the boots and try and make them polish, so that we didn't go to church with dirty boots. And the training there. They gave us good training, and we had plenty of assault course work and long route marches. Sometimes we marched from where we were stationed in North Walsham down to the coast. I can't say now how many miles, but it was quite a long way, and we were kept very fit, but they were only interested really in keeping us going. The battalion was splitting up, sending off chaps in drafts, and that was all that they were really interested in. And from there, eventually, I went from the 9th Battalion to the 6th Battalion and went back to Colchester to join them. And that was a good battalion. We moved from there. We went to Aylesbury. To a village just outside of Aylesbury called Stone, the name of Stone, and it was very hard going. They thought then, at that time, that we would be sort of second front troops going off to France, but. So their training was very high class. Our company commander was most keen. We used to say that it didn't matter where he went. He was always looking for the enemy. But he was a good soldier. But he was a hard man, and. The thing that annoyed him was that the other side of the road from the camp we had some Italian prisoners of war, and they used to be lazing about there, or dressed up very smart and could go out a bit, but they were pretty dreadful. We would be marching along the road, coming back into camp, having been out training all day, and the officer or the NCO in charge, before you got to the camp, he'd say, "Well, come on, pull yourself together, march on into the camp, looking smart." These Italian soldiers would come along in trucks. They'd been out onto the farms to work, and they, as they passed, it was very annoying, but they used to shake and spit at us, which we thought was a pretty terrible thing, but we couldn't get anything at all done about it. And it's a thing that I'm afraid really I think I should remember to my dying day. But that is war, and that's what it's all about, I suppose.
Was your friend with you at this stage?
No, he had gone. My friend went off in another draft, and he went out to, he was in Italy, I know, and he was taken prisoner in Italy, and a very funny thing happened there. My mother was a WI member, a Women's Institute member, and very keen, and. She went to the Dunsfold Aerodrome when the prisoners of war were returning, and evidently quite a lot came into Dunsfold. My mother saw him, and she said how thin and poor he looked, But he came and said to her how pleased he was to see her. From Aylesbury we went to Dover to the Duke of York's military school up on the Deal Road, and we had very good quarters there. That was really a fine camp, very good conditions, and the only thing there was that we had so much activity with ACAC and the firing, the cross channel firing, the guns firing, and that, and it was always busy. We were busy all the time, and we were called out of a night many times to go down to Dover to the harbour, and that would, you know, to take up defensive positions there, and the motor torpedo boats, you could hear them scrapping in the channel. It was quite a lively theatre of war, and the place of course got bombed a lot, it got shelled a lot, and they called it Hellfire Corner, and it really was, there's no doubt about that. And people, there was the different services and that there was in Dover, and I always remember there was quite a lot of the Norwegian Navy there when we were there, and it was a good mixture of people, and we went we had a leave that they used to give us leave, I forget now, every 2 or 3 weeks. It was 24-hour leave, because our duties, we had very very little time, resting time, and you had 24 hours leave. I should say it was about every 3 weeks, and then we could go home if we were close enough. I managed to get home a time or two, and I went. I had aunt and uncle living at Ashford, which was very close, and sometimes I went there, and it just gave you a break, and you had a nice change of food and bed, and then back again. But it was really, really very, very good. I met a pal there, Ted Knock. He came and he joined the battalion there at Dover, and it was he was a Suffolk farmer's son, and there was a spare bed by me, and he had the bed, and we got on really well together, and stuck as pals right the way through from then till the end of the war. And a funny thing happened, but 2 years ago I had man who was running our village shop at the time and post office, and he rang up one day and he said, does the name of Knock mean anything to you? And I said, I had to think, and I said, oh yes it does, I said. He said I've had a Mrs. Knock phone me up, he said, and she is inquiring about you. And he said, I'll come and see you. And he brought the letter. He'd had a letter from her as well, and he brought the letter, and it was Ted's wife. He married, I didn't know her, but he married after the war, and she had been sorting out his kit. Ted had died, and she'd been sorting out his things, and she found this name. Or address, there was some clue she'd got, and he bought it, and so I got in touch with her, and we write to her now, we correspond now, and really we've had some very nice letters from her, and Ted was excellent chap. I didn't have any shortage of pals, although I say it myself, I didn't have any shortage of pals in the army. I seemed to be able to make them easy, and I had good pals, but Ted and I had a lot in common. We'd both country chaps, both knew the farming. And when I went to Burma and we were with the mules, we had the understanding, and that made life very easy for us, really. And he was such a good chap. We could really work in together so easy. So I'm very pleased about that. Ted's wife writes letters that we have a lot in common. And the only thing is that we haven't met. I would very much like to meet her and hope that we will, quite soon.
Maybe you will.
Yeah.
Were there Canadian soldiers around at that time?
Canadian. There was we never had no that at Dover there we didn't I don't think we seemed to have Canadian. We had a lot of there was a lot of artillery there, a lot of English artillery chaps, and but just the other side of the road from us. I have been up by the school since. And it was it's all back to farmland. And when I passed it last, it was flowing lovely with corn, just ripening. But all that area was very thickly covered with AK-AK guns. They had a terrific lot of AK-AK stuff there, and the artillery boys used to come across into the school to use our NAFI, but it was all such great comradeship, and really getting on well together, while I was in there, while I was at that school, it was interesting. I went into hospital down at Dover Castle. I picked up some sort of infection, and I was very, very ill for about 10 days. And that they took me into hospital, it was in the cliffs by Dover Castle, and I went last year. I went by coach with a party, and it was most interesting there. They've released it now, and underneath you could go in, went through and into to this hospital where I was went to during the war.
That must have been strange.
It was very strange, and it all came back to me just like that. They hadn't got all the wards open, but they'd certainly got some. And of course, I couldn't say that I saw the ward that I was in, but it was all just exactly the same as when I went in there. And it's lined in corrugated, more like a Nissen hut. And then we went into the operating theatre, and they'd got it all laid out very realistic. And then there was we saw the part in it where they took over from the operations of the Dunkirk evacuation, and all the different happenings, you know, that happened around Dover. A lot was controlled from there, and really it was a very interesting day. Although it wasn't actually frontline soldiering, it was really quite to the fore, and I was very pleased to be able to say that I served there. It's because it was actually very much a key point to this country in that time of trouble, and I was very pleased, you know, I was there. Yeah.
What was the diagnosis for your infection?
No, I never did know.
Was it a respiratory problem?
It could have been. It was one of these things where it was more like an exhaustion thing, really. But I went to the MO and on the sick parade, and the next thing I knew, I was in an ambulance and taken there.
So did you collapse?
I just went out, spark out, and I, as I say, I was in there you know, for about 10 days, and really the first few days I didn't really know that I was there. So it was, whether it was like that today they say was a bug or a virus or what, I just wouldn't know, really.
Were you given better food?
Oh, you was given better food. Oh, yes, yeah. In there, the attention was very good. As I saw it then, it was just all male staff in there, male nurses, but it was very good, yeah.
So they were compassionate?
Yes, yeah, they were. Yeah, the treatment and the attention was good. Yes, it was, yeah. And from Dover then I moved on to New Romney, where I was there just a short time, and then I went on embarkation leave. I think that was at the Christmas time I went on embarkation leave. And then back there, and very soon, a matter of a few days or so, and then went up to Liverpool onto the boat to go to.
What was it like on those 14 days leave at Christmas time?
That was lovely leave. And It went very quick. 14 days when you went off, you thought, you'd got a lot of time in front of you, but it went, as time always does, it goes too quick, and it went very, very quick. And but I had a good leave, and there was always something about getting back. You built up such a friendship, really, with, if it was only two or three of you, and that was, you missed that when you were away. Although you were home with your family and your friends and that, but somehow when you got back, it might take a day or two, but you got back and you got in with those pals and that, and really that leave had gone, and you were back together, and it was a wonderful feeling, really, that it was up to the individual. If you wanted to make a comradeship and a friendship and go along in a pally way, it was there for you to do it, and that is I've always been lucky. I've had good friends, and I think whatever you do, you put a little bit of effort into it, and by doing that, life always ticks over well, and you go through your hardships and that, but if you've got friends, it always takes it off. Yeah.
You would have had mixed feelings on that leave. Like you say, you're thinking of the friends that you're going back to. So it probably all felt a bit unreal, did it?
I felt then that it was the final leave. I think it was two embarkation leaves before, when I was at North Walsham, but there was some sort of ruling came out that they said that I was too young. I wasn't on my own. There was one or two others that were told the same, and I'm not sure. I think then they had brought it up to about 20. I don't think you could go until you was 20, I think. But anyway, I'd had two embarkation leaves, and you were, you know, in a way you thought, well, that's all right then. But on the other hand, you all your mates were going, and you thought, I've lost that lot, and you've got to start again. But anyway, when it came to the New Romney, and I had the embarkation leave, I knew very well then that I would go. So I suppose really the farewell for leaving home, I probably thought then, well, it could be the final. There's something a bit different about it. And, my father said to me, I can remember, he said, well, you know, you wanna look after yourself and keep your head down and all this. But anyway, I thought, well, you know, here we go, that's all right. Well, got back and you're all together, and you just don't think of, or at least I didn't think about the bad things. I enjoyed the good things.
There'd be pride in knowing that you're fighting for your country. And
that's it. You volunteered to do a job and you're going off to do it. And it was all new experience. I mean, I'd never been on a big ship before, and to go on to that, had sailed along at the coast in a small boat, you know, where you'd go out on these trips and that, but not to go on a big ship, and really, there was so much to take your mind off.